actually, it would be so much harder to have stayed where I was. And I have to remember that, and this is my path, and that's their path, and that's great for them, and this is where I'm supposed to be. And it's about the like creating acceptance for where you are currently that's gonna then propel you forward.
Welcome to the Rise with Diana podcast, the podcast for working women leaders who are dedicated to doing the greatest work in a sound body, mind, and spirit. I'm Diana Patton, ex-corporate executive and civil rights attorney turned entrepreneur and business coach, helping working women leaders to gain the confidence to speak up and advocate for themselves and take uncomfortable action through daily disciplined practices to experience true life success without sacrificing their sanity. It wasn't that long ago that I was taking things way too personal, secretly having something to prove, and doing my best to fake it like I had it all together. I thought the appearance of success was the glue holding my life together, but it was that appearance of success and hustling to prove my worth that was ruining my life. In this podcast, my goal is to teach you the tried and true secrets of living your greatest authentic life. You with me? Let's get ready to rise. Why, hello, Rise with Diana podcast people. I'm so excited. Sis, you are going to be in for a treat because I met this amazing woman, Molly Sider. She's in Chicago, which is where the All Rise Live Global Summit is going to be. And she has this amazing podcast, which struck me. It says, I am this age. Okay. First of all, we got to get into why she started that podcast. But I want to know a little bit more about her because she really talks about story. She really is all about what the Rise with Diana community is all about. Speaking up, advocating for yourself, sharing your authentic voice. But first, Molly, I'd like to know a little bit more about you and your story in terms of how you got where you are right now. Share a little tidbit and then we'll dive in.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Yay, me too.
So I got here. Oh my God, where do I even begin? I was in the wine industry for a really long time. I know you talk to a lot of corporate people. I've actually never worked in corporate America, but I did work for businesses, companies, and mostly in the wine industry. So I was in the wine industry for a really long time. And I came to a point where I was sort of in my late 30s, you know, I was approaching 40, and I thought, I probably don't want to be in the wine industry forever. It's a really, it's sort of taxing on your body. There's a lot of eating and drinking. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. A lot of bowling, super fun, but also not the best for you, not the healthiest. And I also have never been married. I don't have kids. And I was approaching 40 and I was sort of like, so I'm sort of answering both of your questions, but yeah, it's all connected. Everything's connected. Yes. But I was like, oh no, did I screw everything up? Did I miss my opportunity and my chance for happiness? And like, this is not where I thought I would be at this age, right? So I started to think about what I would really like to be doing. The pandemic hit and I lost my job at my wine company. We had been struggling for a while. We had been in a lawsuit, all sorts of stuff. So I had been looking for jobs at other companies, doing a similar thing for a while. And I, as I was talking to all these other companies, I was like, I don't think I want to be doing this anymore. This isn't interesting to me. I don't feel like I'm growing. I don't feel like I'm learning anything. And so that was sort of the beginning of what got me here. Mm-hmm. And then I lost my job in the beginning of the pandemic. And it was really an opportunity for me to take a moment and a breath and figure out what it was I really wanted to do, but also to, I think a lot of people had this experience in the pandemic, but also to like take a really hard look in the mirror and pinpoint and acknowledge the things that I really liked about myself and the things I really didn't like about myself.
Mm. I love
it. That led me down this like a very quick growth spurt in the beginning of the pandemic where I had no other option to then to just like sit in my feelings and work all this stuff out because I live alone and, you know, I couldn't like gather my friends and hang out with everybody. And so it was this really wonderful opportunity, but it was also really difficult. Yeah. But anyway, that's how I got here. Yeah. So then I decided to get life coach certified and I started my podcast and all the other stuff.
I love it. You know, this is so good, Molly, because so many people don't sit in their, they don't sit in their feeling, right? And I really believe, because I went through and we shared this, I shared this a little bit with you, that when I, the podcast, or when the pandemic hit, I went through the depression. Really, depression, anxiety can lead to a deeper sense of awareness. I call it the dark night of the soul, right? And you get to choose the path of I'm going to stay like this, or I get to choose the path of enlightenment. And you chose the path of enlightenment. It's not a it's not going to be perky all the way, but you've chosen the path of enlightenment. Would you say that's when you found your authentic Molly? When did Molly authentic come through?
This is an interesting question because I think I've always been drawn to authenticity. Like I used to say, like, I can't even buy a birthday card for somebody without spending like hours and hours finding the perfect one that's representative of me and the person, you know? And so I think I've always had this in me where I really, really felt like I couldn't settle for something that didn't feel really truly me and representative of who I am. And I think that's why, that's one of the many reasons why I didn't get into a marriage. There are other reasons. Mm-hmm. I think, so that was always a part of me, but I think that period of time gave me the courage and the confidence to express it more, you know, to really lean into it more, to be like, no, it's okay to be this person. I don't have to hide it. I don't have to make jokes about it or excuses or anything like that. So yes, it was pivotal, but I had already always sort of leaned more towards, you know, honoring who I really am. And more so out of just like being so uncomfortable not doing that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily always a conscious decision before. Whereas now today, it's a very conscious decision.
That's so important. No. It makes complete sense. And I feel so many women, and you say you didn't work in corporate America, but you certainly were working for a large business, right? You've worked for businesses and you've had to deal with, you know, competing interests and working on teams, I'm certain. And I really, the women that we talk to on the Rise with Diana podcast really are searching for that true authenticity, right? We're learning, how do I actually gain authority within myself to know I have agency to speak up about what it is I believe in? I don't have to excuse it. And I love exactly what you said. Quit saying I'm sorry for yourself. Like, quit apologizing for that. You don't owe anyone anything, right? And is that why I am this age? Like, how did this come to this? Because it's such a great title. How did you come to? Yes, I love it.
I feel like it sounds like I am the sage sometimes.
Well, you could be that too.
That's not the title. Well, I needed, you know, it was me trying to feel okay with where I was at that point in my life where I was turning 40 and I'm like, did I miss, you know, like I said, like, did I miss my chance for true happiness? And I needed to see representation and hear stories from people who were older than me who were either living outside the box or finding whatever it was that was making them feel completely fulfilled later in life. And I wanted it in a podcast form.
Yes.
And I couldn't find it anywhere, and I couldn't believe it. Now, I should also say, I forgot to mention this earlier, that I'm a storyteller. And what I mean by that is I get up on stages and tell true personal narratives, like The Moth, if any of you have ever heard of The Moth. If not, I recommend checking it out. Through storytelling, through getting up on stages, I discovered the power of sharing your story, which of course is now what I speak about. But through getting up on stages and telling really vulnerable personal experiences that I've had with audiences of people and receiving the responses that I would, like I would, you know, tell something so, so personal, so vulnerable and so scary. Mm. And I'd have people afterwards come up and shake my hand and say, thank you so much for telling that story. Mm. I needed to hear that. And that really made me learn this lesson of like, oh, if I'm feeling something or if I've experienced something, if I'm having fear about something, there's no chance that I'm the only person in the world who's feeling this way, you know? And most likely somebody else in the same room is feeling that same way or has experienced something similar at some point in their life. Mm. And so this, doing this, you know, started giving me more and more courage to share more and more and more. And so starting the podcast, I was like, okay, I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling like maybe a little bit of a lot of shame, but maybe a little bit of a failure. You know, I'm reaching this pivotal age where I'm supposed to have everything figured out and I have like nothing figured out. And is there anybody else out there like me? And of course there are other people out there like me. And so why aren't we talking to them? There's another thing in the wine industry, and I think this is in a bunch of different industries, but of course I just kind of know the wine industry, is there's a lot of focus on, you know, the top 30 under 30, the top 40 under 40. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like that was such a missed opportunity. Like, okay, that's interesting. I'm interested, I guess, in those people and what they're doing, but there's like a wealth of knowledge from people from older generations who have been through this, who have done this before. And I don't understand why we're not talking to them and you know, spotlighting them. And like, there's so much, like they've already learned the lessons. We don't have to go through it if we were just willing to listen to them and talk to them and, you know, give them the respect that they, you know, mostly deserve. And so there was all of that. And so I was like, well, I'm definitely not the only person who needs this, like who would benefit from this, you know? And at first I was like, maybe a few other people would benefit from this too. And then of course it's beneficial for a lot more people. So
okay,
yeah, that was
this is so good. Oh my God, I followed every single ounce of it. Did y'all get all this? Rise with Diana community. Y'all, listen, there were so many nuggets in here. First, one, it's going to be scary. You're scared. Oh, yeah. Of course you're scared because you're being vulnerable. It's like you have to jump out of the plane. And then there were a couple things. So for those women who are listening to this and going, okay, when's the perfect time to speak up about myself? There ain't no perfect time, sis. Secondly, you are never old. You have aged, but you're not old. As my 85-year-old mama says, you're only old because you want to be old, okay? And every one of us ages, right? But we don't have to be old. And thank you for, you know, giving space to that narrative of people who just, I believe it is the perfect time. I mean, I feel like right now, Molly, I am 55 beautiful years aged, and I feel like I'm in my prime. Honestly, I feel I'm in my prime. And I really know that there is this release of this negative narrative that you have about your age. And so the more that you speak, right? And by the way, Moth, M-O-T-H, right? Is that what we're talking about? How can people learn about Moth? What's Moth? Tell us a little bit more.
It's the Moth. It's a storytelling. When I say storytelling, I bring that up because that's usually what people have heard of if they've heard of storytelling, like as a art form.
Yes.
But it is produced by NPR.
Yes.
You can listen to it. They have a podcast. It's on the radio, like I think on Saturday mornings. It has been for years and years and years and years. You can also go and hear. You can go to a Moth story hour in whatever city you live in. It's literally in every city, like at like, you know, a theater or a bar or something like that. And people share their stories anyway.
I love it. What would you say, Molly? Because sometimes people think you have to have some special, you know, thing to do what you're doing. Tell us a little bit. What would you say your superpowers are?
My superpowers are, I consider myself an empath, you know, I'm sure you know what an empath is.
Yes, of course, I am.
but basically, I am very, I'm able to feel other people's feelings. And I used to think this was, first of all, was making it up. Like as a little kid, I felt like I could feel other people's feelings. And I thought, surely I'm not able to do this. This isn't real. And as I got older and older and started reading more about it, I realized this is a thing. And this also, what a great superpower to have. What a wonderful way to create empathy and compassion. And I think because of that, I am really good at creating a space for people to feel really seen and safe. And people like to share stories with me. And I love to listen. That's also like I'm extremely curious. I think that's also a superpower. I always say curiosity keeps me out of judgment. And, you know, I'm not perfect at this, but to be able to sit in a space with somebody and to really listen and to ask curious questions and make people feel really seen and understood, I think is such a superpower. And that's what I'm best at.
Oh, you know what? This, if we could all just take that one little section and put it into our corporate spaces, our companies would change. If we could take that space and that what you just said and put it into our communities would change because there's a human element that you are providing for people. And to me, that is beautiful. How is it that Molly stays focused, centered, balanced, feeling good about herself? What do you do? What are your practices, protocols, affirmations? What do you do? Because here at our, because sometimes some people are saying, and y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here. You know, that song, y'all gonna make me lose my, okay. Now, how are you helping hit up and hit? But what do you do? Y'all gonna make me act a fool. Okay, sorry. That's such a good song. But anyways, okay, tell us, what do you do?
Oh my gosh, there's so many things.
Yes, please.
You know, all the regular things like staying super active and eating healthy and those types of things. But I think also to stay focused on moving forward and in disciplined in my personal growth work, which I do think actually takes a ton of discipline. First of all, like I'm always talking about, well, remember my why, which is, you know, what keeps me going in my podcast and what keeps me going in growing my business and starting new little parts of my business, remembering my why, coming back to my why. But I also, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, you know, especially as somebody who has shifted in my career in my 40s, it's really hard. And I also suffer from ADHD, and that makes it, that provides all sorts of other challenges. And I sometimes will look at friends or people just, you know, on the internet or whatever, and I see them traveling and doing all these like really fun things that I want to be doing that I used to be able to do more. But right now, because I'm working on this business, those things have been put on the back burner. I can't necessarily do all of them right now. And so I look at those people and I think, oh, why? Like they're out there and they're just, you know, they're working whatever job they're working. They're working. Sometimes some of these people are people that I used to work with in the wine industry. And sometimes I think to myself, why can't I just be okay with that? You know, if I could just go work in the wine industry again, then I could do all the things that I used to do. I could travel. I could do all these things that I'm seeing them doing and I'm feeling a little bit envious of. And instead, I'm like working really hard and it's really, you know, it's hard here and it can get lonely sometimes and it's stressful and all this stuff. And what pulls me back is I was never fulfilled doing that. And there's a reason why I left. Yeah, there's a reason why I left. And so while I can feel a lot of FOMO and feel like, did I make the wrong decision? Like this is so much harder than I ever imagined it would be. But then I'm like, no, actually, it would be so much harder to have stayed where I was And I have to remember that. And this is my path. And that's their path. And that's great for them. And this is where I'm supposed to be. And it's the about the like creating acceptance for where you are currently that's going to then propel you forward. But it's hard. But
so girl,
I've been thinking a lot about that lately.
Molly, that's so it. Do you know how many people you just spoke to right now? Because so many people are like spending so much time in FOMO land and obsessing over this and speaking up and advocating for yourself and then going home and having vulnerability hangovers. And, you know, just, you know, Brené Brown talked about that, right? And we have to find ourselves back in a positive space. So remembering your why is important because you know you didn't like it anyways. And then you try to convince yourself otherwise. Girl, you done spoke a word. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. So many of us need to understand that and we need to hear it from other people because you have to know that turning off those things and getting yourself back to a level of peace and joy and contentment and love for oneself, right? What do you love most about Molly? You are an empath, that's your superpowers, but what do you love most about you?
What a challenging question. I love that I am following this path of speaking up for storytelling and being a storytelling advocate. I love that I'm like leaning in as hard as I can into this space that feels really scary, but feels so right. I love the person that I am growing into that I'll never stop shifting and moving and hopefully just like becoming the best human that I can possibly be. But I love my dedication to being that person. I love my curiosity. I love it. I think growing up, people thought it was annoying. You know, it's certainly as a little kid, I'd ask a gazillion questions and people would be like, it's just the way it is. Stop asking questions. And I actually speak about this, like how I internalized that as asking stupid questions, things like that. And I now, as an adult, am like, this is one of the best things about me that I can sit down and I can be really curious. And I will not accept, you know, well, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Or if something doesn't make sense to me, you know, it rules or whatever it is, if it doesn't make sense to me, I just can't get behind it. If it's not efficient, if whatever it is, like I can't get behind it. And I love that I am willing and able to stick to that, to say, no, I can't get behind this thing, even though everybody else is. It doesn't make sense to me anyway, or explain it to me, and then maybe I'll get behind it, but otherwise I can't. Like, I love that about myself, that I am willing to stand up for something that I believe in that's right, and I don't, not that I don't worry about the repercussions or what other people think, because I do, but that doesn't affect how I speak up for myself.
I call that you're not hustling to prove your worth. You're not going around soliciting. I think it's wise to have a certain center, and I would love to ask you about that, the people that might sharpen you, right? But it's not wise to go out and ask and sweat and hustle for the affirmation of other people because there's a certain peace. There's a certain contentment, which is what we talk about at the Rise Advocates Academy, of a contentment of knowing thyself. Because if you don't know yourself, and I always think from a biblical perspective, you know, in one of the greatest commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how are you going to love your neighbor if you don't even love yourself? You don't even know yourself. You don't even have an understanding of yourself, right? And so I love that you're doing the podcast. I want to get into a couple questions before I get to closing this, but I want to ask you, what would you say if you scanned your podcast land, what were some of the most pivotal conversations you've had with people that really just caused you to really walk away and think deeply about your call?
Oof. There's so many good ones. Well, okay. The first one that comes to mind is, so I mostly interview people who have made some big life change after the age of 40. And I've interviewed people in their 40s all the way through like mid 80s.
Yes.
And it's mostly about like the feelings and the fears and the insecurities that you feel while going through that change, and then how you navigate through that and get to this other side. Not that we ever arrive, but how you can move through those hard emotions. But because it's a podcast about age and aging and ageism, I have had a few people on who have talked about ageism. Mm. And those conversations have felt really expansive for me. They're all expansive conversations, but that's the first thing that comes to mind are those people who are actual like anti-ageist advocates. They go out there. One woman wrote a wonderful book called This Chair Rocks.
I love that.
And yeah, and her name is Austin Applewhite. She's wonderful. And just learning about, you know, how much ageism affects all of us, of course, as all isms do, and how we can't dismantle like one ism without dismantling all the other isms. They all work together. That was really, really eye-opening for me, and also like made me feel better because, yeah. I mean, I know that I'm in my 40s, but I'm starting to, you know, I started the podcast for a reason, and that because I was already feeling the effects of ageism, and especially as a female. But this idea that like we're like the whole purpose is to grow older. Mm-hmm. And she said something in her book, like we all strive, like we want to live a long life, right? Like that's all of our purpose. And yet we are discriminating against the very thing we're striving to do.
Girl, right? That is so deep. I love that.
Yeah, that's not me. That's her. She said that. But I loved it. And you can hear that that episode. So that was a really, obviously, again, expansive episode. But then there's this one woman who she got married on her 80th birthday. She was in a really long-term relationship with this man. I don't know, like 30-something years. He lived with her. They never got married. And he, in the middle of the pandemic, I think she was 78, he just left her. He was like, I'm done with this relationship. I'm out. And she went through the same heartbreak that everybody else goes through and really wanted to find somebody and went online and found this man. And she was like, I do not want to be in another relationship again unless I'm married. And on her 80th birthday, they got married and we're friendly and we follow each other on Facebook. And he's a pilot. He has his own little airplane. They live in Florida and like they fly all over the place. And so like those conversations are also really expansive. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. Ooh, I can't wait to, I love this. Hey, I think everyone, this is why I wish we were all in a room going, yes, that's so good. Because I know so many of my clients, I know so many people that are working in corporate America. We just like shut down and start blending into the paint. At like, what? Girl, you better come on and rise up because we got Molly over here telling us all about her podcast. So, Molly, how can we get to know more about you? Where do we go to subscribe? How do we go about getting to lean into your work?
Everything is on my website. So it's just mollysider.com. It's Molly and then S as in Sam, I, D as in doggy, E, R, like apple cider, but with an S. And everything's there. You can find my podcast, I Am This Age, wherever you listen to your podcast. But you can also get there from the website. So just go there.
Wouldn't you all agree that Molly has a great voice? I love your voice. So I can't wait to continue to listen to more. And I can't wait to be on your podcast. Yeah. You know, Molly, you connected. You and I connected because we're both advocates. We both speak up. We both love who we are. We're focused. We know we don't always going to get it right, but we're going to come back to that center. And that is the reason why I'm so grateful you've taken time to pour into the community. And I really believe that as you continue to shine your light, you will then continue to bring so many people to a sense of hope and healing and the ridding of the isms. So thank you. for your beautiful, beautiful work. And is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about you or what we should know?
I know that you talk a lot about like how to speak up, mm-hmm. especially in a corporate setting. And I think, you know, one of the important things to think about is that, again, like we all have our like internal hidden stories, and we fear that if we share them with the world will reflect back this like idea that the world will reflect back what we already believe to be true about ourselves, right? And that's usually something bad or negative. And I think one of the ways to really start to get over that and to gain the courage and confidence to start speaking up, even in a corporate setting, is to start sharing with somebody you feel safe with. Because what happens is, just like when I started sharing my stories on a stage and people came up to me and they thanked me for telling that story, you create these connections, you realize you're not alone. And the heaviness that, you know, somebody feels when they're hiding who they really are, their real emotions, gets so much lighter when you begin to share. And so I just encourage your community and your listeners to try it out. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to be on a stage to do it, right? You can just like, we tell each other stories on the telephone or over dinner, just start there. But it gets a lot easier as you practice and you test things out. And sometimes it feels a little like wobbly, and that's normal. Yeah. So that's what I would say. And the other thing I would say is that I love what you're doing here. I love the podcast community, and I love what you're doing in Chicago. And I can't wait to see how it all goes down. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, because it's clearly.
Molly, you are a part of this community already. I know it, because everything you said, I articulated in my book, Inspiration in My Shoes. And yes, because that's how we roll. And also, women will be able to practice that at the All Rise Live Global Summit. So, Molly, I can't wait to see you there in Chicago. Thank you, Molly. You're a beautiful, bright breath of fresh air. It is inspiring. I learned so much, and thank you so much for your inspiration and the work that you do.
Thank you so much.
Yes. All right, ladies, we will see you next time on the Rise with Diana podcast. You know, like, subscribe, send a comment. We want to hear from you. All right, y'all. You all have a great day. Bye. Thank you for being with me today. If you found value in this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of weekly content. You can also learn more and follow along with me on any social media channel and by going to risewithdiana.com.